Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love the fact that He is moving. I was thinking this morning how in November of 2017, that was the day, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I forgot which day it was, but it was the Saturday before Thanksgiving. The Lord woke me up in the morning speaking when he said, "Tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready that they be not left." And that woke me up pretty easy. I promise you it did. I'll never forget that moment. Was that God telling you that His people, tell them to be ready that they be not left? That was the Lord, my God and King. That was the Holy Ghost. I heard the words of my Father, and I just like a private coming to attention. I'm like, "Yes, sir." I sat up in the bed. I hadn't heard language like that so bluntly. It was in the 80s since I heard holiness preachers preach that way. It got my attention, so immediately I began to do research and go before the Lord asking questions like I always do when He do something like that. This was just abrupt and without warning. No, 5 years prior to that, I'm at the shop working and the word of the Lord came to me saying, "There's something happening in the spirit. Pray now." So I started praying for His people who follow Him and also for people who don't follow Him. Why would I do that? Well, He taught me about following God for a long time. He gave me all kind of revelation. You would think that's just a simple message, but it's a complex simplicity. It's simple in one aspect if you just obey Him and do it, and it's so complicated if you don't. And the details of following God, the things He taught me since 1990, was amazing. It's a lot of information. So I knew the difference between people that follow God and people that don't. But in the middle of my prayer, He stopped me. He said, "Only pray for those who follow me." I said, "Wow." Again, I had to go do research. I obeyed what He said. And I only prayed from that moment on. I've been praying for people who follow Him. I can't go beyond a mandate. I can't go beyond a protocol. And God began to do a separation. So some years went on. And in 2017, a lot of things changed. In 2016, on the radio broadcast, and you can listen to them on the all of these broadcasts are on the audio page. Everything that I'm talking about, it's on the audio pages. The 2015 is the first audio page, so the 2016 would be the second audio page, Roman numerals 2. So if you start around September, October, I began to talk about end times. And end times is something it's like a hobby to me. I study it for comfort. I study it because it's interesting. I believe in managing time. Jesus said, "Work while it's day, the night come when no man can work." Now, I remember times I used to wish Jesus would come on back. I was ready for Him to come back because my life was not comfortable. I had a lot of problems that I didn't like. And I wanted Jesus to just come on back for my sake. But that's not fair to people that never heard the word. So I kind of got out of that phase. I learned to live. I kept seeking God and solving problems, and life got better and better. At this point, my life is very comfortable. On my end, I'm not in a hurry for Him to come back. Me and my wife, we get along great. I love her. She loved me. She got my back. I got her back. We're best friends. You know, we have a good time. We tell jokes. We have a good time. My life is very happy, comfortable. I want it to stay that way. So I'm not in a hurry for my sake for Jesus to come back. And, you know, for my sake, everything is going, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm at a blessed stage in my life. And I thank God for it. I'm retired from my job and I just work my business and I get to do the ministry. I sleep better. But there are people that don't know the Lord. That's what bothers me. Now, for years, when I worked my first business, I would work at people's homes. And that was I explained that in other broadcasts, how, you know, that was part of my ministry. I saw things that I never saw before. And I was going to a church where miracles were happening back at Refuge Temple. People were getting healed and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. All kind of miracles was happening for them, and I thank God for all of it. And I wanted to help others. They had no hope. They didn't know that miracles existed. You know, in their world, you just do the best you can and hope for the best, and hope don't no tragedy happen. And people were struggling, and I met a lot of people. I was able to help a lot of people. Sometimes I was able to minister to people, and the Lord would help me minister to people. I had much compassion for people, and I still do. And I know that if anybody trusts the Lord, He's right there to help them and give them wisdom. But they've been taught wrong. They've been taught that don't happen. And just like I met people that believe and receive miracles, I met people that don't believe in miracles. And some of them were even Christian people because of the way they were taught. So if you take a child and teach them God's ways in the beginning, they have a reference. So any time a person has a reference for who God is, they have an anchor. They can go to Him. They can trust Him. When the pressure's on, they probably will trust Him because they know there's a better way. But there are people that don't know that. And when you explain it, it'll sound weird to them. But if they have if their heart is not hardened, they'll receive the word of God and come out of darkness. But see, the thing about the anointing, I've also seen this happen. People that are anointed, they can break all the barriers. They can break all the barriers. That's what the evangelist anointing will do. Pastors can struggle for years to get people saved. And they water and water and they plant the seed and they plant the seed and they water the word. But here comes an evangelist, you know, like a man coming out of nowhere. He just come and his anointing just break all the barriers. And they preach a simple message and then people get saved. You know, in the last broadcast sometimes I talk about the anointing, and I did in the last broadcast how it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Okay, the evangelist anointing. I related the anointing to like heavy equipment. You know, I talked about how heavy, you know, he was a small man, but he could operate heavy equipment very well. But you give him a shovel, he couldn't do it. It'd take him months to dig your swimming pool, if he ever finished. But if you put him in a backhoe, he can dig you whatever you want. You know, I don't even know if he's still living, but heavy was good on heavy equipment. So when you have a man like Samson, never been trained in military, he was not only able to kill, he was anointed to judge and kill. He was like a superhero because he was anointed to judge for Israel. And he had supernatural abilities by his anointing. You know, the Holy Spirit can give us might when we need it. In every category you can imagine, He can give you might. And Samson didn't just go killing people. He isolated the wicked. and he made deals where to activate them. He was very wise in how he handled life. He was anointed. This didn't come from his mind. This came because of the anointing. And see, the anointing can make you look smart, but I know for a fact, you know, I'm not nowhere near smart enough to do the things that God had me doing. I know for a fact when God give me a word for somebody, it comes out so perfect. I can't do that of myself. And I like to relate things to people so that they can understand it. I even had a dream one time that I saw Jesus walking in a valley. And he walked up to a piece of heavy equipment. And I looked at Jesus and I looked at the heavy equipment. And I looked at Jesus and I looked at the heavy equipment. And then, you know, that I didn't understand. I never really understood that dream, but the anointing is like heavy equipment. A man can control it and do great things that he normally could not do. Heavy equipment takes you far beyond your human abilities. The anointing does an even greater job of that. And I like to relate, you know, the anointing so people can understand what it's here for. It's not just some oil that people put on your head. It's not just the ability to preach. It's the ability to do great things, even preaching. It takes us beyond ourselves. We have God's ability through the anointing. After I started relating to the anointing to heavy equipment, then the dream that when I saw Jesus, he walked near heavy equipment and I saw him in the heavy equipment. You know, being a mechanic, I said, do I have to choose between being a mechanic or following Jesus? I didn't know why. In my mind, I didn't know why he gave it to me that way. And I didn't, in those days, I didn't seek the Lord and ask why. This was very on when he first called me to the ministry. It was early on. I started asking him questions later on. I just never asked him about that particular dream. But it makes more sense now because I relate the anointing to heavy equipment. You know, Billy Graham would be like a combine. He come and just reap up the whole ground. And pastors used to get upset because they try so hard to get people to just get saved, and they know what life is, and they want people to get in on it. They have a heart for the people. People are contrary. Then here come Billy Graham or somebody with that kind of anointing, and they preach a simple message, and everybody gets saved. Well, pastors are designed to pastor, help people grow up to a point of maturity so that they can be used of God. You know, everybody has to have their own function. And a guy, he got mad at his pastor because you know, some of the guys that was going to church, they were coming out of drugs, and the pastor was patient with them. And he, you know, he got to work too late to go with the guys on his route. And I was across the street working on some heavy equipment just so we could have this conversation. The Lord set it up because I told him, I said, don't get mad at your pastor. I said, he's anointed for that. He's going to help them guys come out of the trouble they're in and pastor them. That's what pastors do. His anointing is beyond him. He can do that. He said he has patience that most people can't have or don't have. I said he can see Christ in people. He knows what he's doing. I talked to him like that. He said, man, I'm so glad you told me that. Now everything makes sense. You know, that's what we can do what we are designed to do. And we're effective in all that we do. When I first found out about, I read about how Kenneth Hagin would intercede for people. He interceded for his brother. He broke down, he broke Satan's barriers, and he interceded for his brother. His brother got saved. Well, I started doing that. I started praying for everybody I could find, and it was effective, and the Lord said he had to tell me to stop. He said, if you keep doing that, I'm gonna, you know, I was pulling on the Lord. You know, he had something else for me to do. And I'll never forget, this may sound weird to some people, but when you follow God, a lot of things are going to sound weird. Because looking at it from our perspective versus his perspective, we don't see what he sees. See, I was being faithful in an area of life, and he may have had me to do evangelistic work, because he told me this. I said, "What's going on?" He said, if you keep doing that, I'm going to have to put you." I was about to change course. He said, "I got something else for you to do." And I had to believe him and do it his way. This is why it's so important to follow him. And so I don't like to talk about that, because that's not, I mean, I just brought it up because it, you know, I was so faithful in interceding for people. It's like he was going to have me to be an evangelist instead of an apostle. But that sounded just as weird to me as it did you. So whether you believe it or not, that's, I understand. I had to deal with the same thing because it happened to be me, and I was hearing my father. Then he started giving me dealing with me about the church, the problems, and these are the things he come to me with. Now, some people say, "Well, God called me to be an apostle," but they never talk about what God is talking to them. They're not following them. They may have the office, but see, an office without the relationship, it won't work. Also, to be fair to apostles that are called, the Lord had to train me, and he taught me that trust would be very important. I had to be able to trust him in order to do what he wants me to do. So as I was trusting God and obeying him, he continually gave me information. And he would come to me talking about the condition of the church. Now, why would he just come to a regular old minister about things that's worldwide in the church? But he did. This is, you know, because when God calls you to something, the Holy Spirit, there's a consistency with it. And people wouldn't know that, you know, unless I told them. I could tell them specifics, but most people don't want to know about all that. Anyway, the thing is, when you're anointed for something, it's far beyond your abilities. And so, knowing the condition of the church over the years, how the Lord explained things to me, then he said, he's not talking about the problems of the church anymore. He said, "Tell my people my return is imminent and to be ready, that they be not left." That's when I said, "Whoa, something's going on." This is 5 years since the time he told me that, things were happening in the spirit, as I pray, he said, "Only pray for those who follow me." Now, in 2017, I remember the vision that God gave me about the rapture. He gave me a rapture vision in 1984. I had just received the Holy Spirit in that November in 83. This was early winter of 84, and I didn't expect. I was interested in the rapture, especially in the early days when I didn't like. I wanted to be married. I wasn't married. I wanted to make more money. I made small money. I didn't make money like I wanted to. There was a lot of things that just wasn't right. And I would have been so happy if Jesus would have just come on back. And years after that, I would have been happy if he just come on back. And we were looking for the Lord because we didn't know how to, it was interesting. I wanted to be with Jesus anyway. But the people in heaven don't have an advantage over people on earth, because you can do what I did. I used to go in his presence every chance I got. But I didn't like the job I had. That was a big problem. So life was a little uncomfortable for me. And though I didn't like that job, I worked it. But he showed me a vision of the rapture. I asked him, "What would the rapture be like?" And then he immediately gave me a vision of it. And I'm like, I was surprised. I didn't expect him to do that so fast. And he used the setting I was in. I was sacking groceries that Saturday morning. And there wasn't many people in the store, maybe 30 people, workers and people that were shopping early in the morning. And I'm sacking groceries for somebody. And all of a sudden, I see a lady in a red dress pushing a buggy going to, fixing to go shop. You know, she was about to go shop. And I heard the horn, and she disappeared, red dress and all. And about five people out of 30 disappeared with her. And I said, wow. I knew what I was the observer, so I didn't disappear. I just saw what it would be like. And I was sacking groceries. I never stopped sacking groceries. I was still sacking groceries while I saw the vision. It didn't happen. It was just a moment. So I started looking at YouTube, other people that had rapture visions. And eventually, the one about Henry Groover came up when he went through the Milky Way, when he died in an accident, and he went through the Milky Way. Very interesting video. But I kept listening to Henry Groover, and then I listened to one about the sheep. It was a sheep and goat nations. It's still on YouTube. I advise you to listen to it. But in 2012 of that year, they were talking about men went in prayer and just to see what the Lord would give them, and they talked about how God was dividing the sheep and goat nations. Very interesting video. And I said, Lord, what year was that you gave me? It reminded me of that prayer when he told me to start praying. And then he told me I only pray for those who follow him. Now, when the time he told me to start praying, a few minutes later, he stopped me when I started praying. I immediately obeyed him. I'm at work. I'm doing my job, but I'm praying. I started praying for people who follow him and also people that don't. And he stopped me immediately. He said, I only pray for those who follow me. So I have a reference for what those men were talking about. And that's the video that Henry Groover addressed the Fukushima nuclear plant disaster when the tsunami hit and water got in it and made the ocean radioactive, and it was just horrible what happened. He had just left in the plane right before it happened. So you got to listen to that video. Nevertheless, God is moving. And what he's doing, it's very important. Now, when he first told me to tell my people my return is imminent, be ready that they be not left, I was shocked. And I said, Lord, I need time to tell people. I'm thinking like he might come before the days. I knew I had time to minister, but I sensed the urgency with the dream, with the vision or the dream. Well, you know, when the Lord told me that, he spoke it when I woke up. It wasn't really a dream. He spoke it as soon as my eyes opened. He spoke it. But it was like a dream because it was so impactful. But nevertheless, I did the radio broadcast. I've been talking about this for years. And here it is, 2021. I didn't expect to see 2019. I was surprised to see 2018. I didn't expect to see 2019. I thought I'd definitely be raptured before 2020. So I said, Lord, now if your return is imminent, here it is years later. I said, what's going on? Why is that? I asked questions. He said, when people start repenting and obeying me, you know, it changes the dynamics. When people are in a state of obedience to God, it changes the dynamics. So you have to, every time, as we are operating under the anointing and people are coming, people are getting saved, every time a person gets saved, they change the whole dynamic because that person is going to potentially win souls. And the Lord say, hey, wait, souls are on the line. Souls are more important than his return to God. God loves people. He'll hold everything up when he can see through time, and he's after people, and he can win souls. But he'll stop the whole show. For his people. He loves his people. Now, I'm saying this now, that may be over the top for some people, but when we see Jesus and understand his love in heaven, when all this is done, you're going to be amazed at what God has done for people. Then you're going to turn around and see the people that he was after, and you're going to understand the love of God. So I have to go on what God is doing. I said, Lord, I'll never ask you to rush in my heart, I said, I'm not going to ever ask him to rush or delay the rapture. I leave that to him. All I can do is be obedient. It inspired me to be more obedient now. What can I do now? Help me think the way I need to think so that I can be very receptive. That's why I started saying I will do all this in God's heart. I don't want there to be a lag time of obedience. I want to be immediately obedient. I want to be all in. I want to be in expectation. I want to be live in faith. And I want and see, my pastor said there was a Godward side and a manward side. If we do our part, we activate God. We activate God on our behalf. God is activated. It's very important. See, when God is in it, God is on it. But if you don't give God something if you don't do your part, then he can't do his part. We usually have to do our part first. Now Jesus, beginning with Jesus. Jesus did his part, now we do our part, then the Holy Spirit do his part. Very important. Now, people can make decisions and God is not in it. You know, remember Jephthah? He was in battle, he made a covenant. Lord, if you give us victory over the Ammonites, the first, whoever comes out of my house first, I give them as a burnt offering. He was not thinking about his daughter. But he said this. He didn't have to make a covenant at all. God was going to give him victory. All he had to do was ask for it. It wasn't even his fight. But he was willing to sacrifice any of his animals. Now the Lord knew that it wasn't his thought to sacrifice his daughter. But his daughter was the first one out the door. And he couldn't go back. And I thought about this yesterday. God didn't stop him. I always wondered why. He left God out of his decision. See, when you involve God in your decisions, you'll have good decisions. You have to. The Proverbs 3:5-6 says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. Don't make a decree without him. Then when Lot's daughters, they thought that they were the only ones on earth and their daddy was the last man on earth. They really did. They didn't think about other countries. They never been out of Sodom. So nobody else existed. The whole world just got burned up. So they got their father drunk and had children with him. And they did this. God didn't stop them. They didn't involve God in their decision process. I thought about this yesterday. I said, Lord, you didn't stop him. Why did they didn't include him? They left him out of the loop. And then when King Abimelech, when Isaac went to Gerar, he took Rebekah, and he was going to marry Rebekah, thinking that she was his sister. That's what he told him. But God stopped him. Who involved God in that situation? When God was not involved in the other two references I just gave. God made a covenant. Not only with Abraham, but also with Isaac. So God was involved. And God stood for Isaac. And he dealt with Abimelech. This happened also to Abraham. But see, a covenant was made. An agreement. A bond was on his life. This is why when it comes, I'm saying this for you. Involve God in your decisions and your so that he won't be on the sidelines watching you make a fool of yourself. So to speak. You can't know, I mean, these people, I'm not calling them a fool, but they did what they did in ignorance. if you give God the reins of your heart, Lord, you help me obey you. So many Christians, they want God on their terms. People that don't follow God, they want God on their terms. They're in all kind of forms of idolatry. The Lord had me to stop praying for them because they're messing things up. Their self-will. They don't involve God in every area of their life, and Satan is making a fool out of them. He's getting away with things in their life and they're not stopping it. Now, if you involve God in your life in all of your decisions, why make a decision without God's counsel when the Proverbs tell you to acknowledge him in all your ways? Do you want an aspect of your life to be unfruitful? Every aspect can be fruitful. And you know, I'm preaching these things and I'm learning these things. So I said, every time I involve God, I do well. When I don't, I have problems. Now, this is the man that God raised up to teach people to follow him. But for my own life, I said, I want every aspect of my life to become fruitful. I can't do it by myself. I don't know what to watch out for, but God does. So the point is this, out of all of this, today's broadcast, the point is this. Involve him in every aspect of your life so there'll be no dead spots. There don't have to be any dead spots. Everything can be, your whole life can become worship. Your entertainment life can be worship. Your appetites can love worship. Everything you do can be godly and brought to fruitfulness. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord does not just consider these things. Well, God, I said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And he heard that prayer. He's involved. But he'll only be